is the Todd and Friends podcast.
I don't like to waffle on predictions. That doesn't mean I always hope I'm right.
Oh, what's he going to do? Oh, come on.
I'm with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Todd, I knew we'd agree on something here.
Here's Todd Burgess.
Hey, thanks for joining us once again for the podcast. Sean Bolson joining us this morning for the show, as he does on these Wednesdays. And Sean, I haven't had a chance to talk to you since the Masters this past Sunday wrapped up. It's my favorite golf tournament. It is for many around the world. It also means we really do have the best players in the world all in one spot competing against each other. And one thing about the world golf rankings, which don't include everybody anymore, they have one thing right for sure. Scottie Scheffler is the best player in the world.
Yeah, he is, and he showed it. You know, I mean, it was a really good performance, you know, from the TV ratings down 20% on Sunday. There was no drama.
Yeah.
You know, this Oberg, who, you know, ended up putting a nice little final round together, this, 24-year-old Swede nobody really knew about.
Yep.
It wasn't the, you know, the Brooks and DeChambeau, you know, controversy. We don't like each other. Somebody's chasing somebody. Scotty pretty much just said, you know, you guys go ahead and play for a second. I'm going to run away with this thing. So
right.
There wasn't enough drama to captivate any sort of TV audience, but you know, it's the Masters, and Scotty just showed again that right now he, and for the past year, he's playing like far and away the best player on the planet.
His iron play is so good. I mean, he hasn't been one of the top-ranked putters for a long time. I think even last year he was even outside the top 100, and yet still the number one player in the world. Because when you hit the ball as often to 4 feet or less as he does, even on those greens at the Masters, you know, it mitigates the damage that you can do with your putter.
It does. And he putted okay this week. But the biggest thing, too, is you look at these holes, you can get in trouble if you don't drive it straight. And it reminded me of Brooks when he won his last PGA Championship. That final round, he was just gutting fairways right down the middle. Scotty never really got himself in trouble.
Right.
And you saw other people that would drive it well, but then, you know, whether it's a Rory or a Cam Smith or, you know, even a Morikawa, you know, they had shots that missed wayward. Scotty just didn't have any.
Yeah.
He didn't open the door for anybody. And if you really look after the round on Friday, the winning score didn't move as much as we thought it would because, you know, we had rough weather the first 2 days.
Yep.
The second 2 days, they talked about how, you know, it was going to be ideal conditions, and nobody went low. And Scotty just maintained where he was, turned it on a little when he needed to, and just cruised to an easy victory.
Yeah. You know, I saw a video on X where they showed, you know, yesterday, all the amateur golfers around the planet on Monday after another Scotty Scheffler win. And they showed guys, you know, trying to dance around and hit the ball. It was pretty hilarious. But you know, when he makes contact, everything is in alignment, despite the fact that right at about that point, his back foot is flying out behind him and his left foot is spinning open, the footwork that he has, and yet he comes down and clean to the ball with his swing almost perfectly every single time. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and it is. And, you know, we used to talk about Jim Furyk, how he had a very unique golf swing.
Yep.
But it worked for him, and he mastered that swing. Scotty's golf swing from takeaway to impact is absolute textbook.
Yep.
But, you know, his feet are moving around. He just proves, you know, Adam Scott to me is like the human robot of if you were to draw up a swing.
Beautiful.
Everything about Adam Scott's swing is perfect. Scotty's, you know, got a great swing, but he has some, you know, individual differences than everybody else. But he's made it work. He's mastered it. And he is, you know, contacting the ball pure every single time. And he's doing everything he has to do to just really make it a boring round that he just goes up and says, you know what? You guys all make your run. I'm just better. And he truly is at this point. And you know, he's, I just looked at it. He's plus 450 to win the PGA. Well, when
amazing.
You have a field that big, you know, this is almost Tiger-ish.
It is.
When it came to what Tiger was like going into tournaments, everybody expects him to win. When you're playing against the best golfers in the world and you're that overwhelming of a favorite, it just says you're playing at a different level than everybody.
Yeah. You remember, it used to be in Tiger's prime, the wagering lines would be Tiger Woods or the field. And it would be about even odds for, like, the PGA, like you mentioned. It's 144 players. It's a full field event. For him to be plus 450, which is 4.5 to 1, that's amazing when you consider he's facing over 140 other players.
Right, and these aren't just, you know, players at your local club.
Right.
The other 143, you know, best players. Now, the PGA is a little bit different because you have some true PGA professionals that are out there working to make golf a better game in your local country clubs, and they're competing on different rounds, and a number of those get in. Mm-hmm. But you got, you know, 100 best players in the world,
yep.
And he's just that overwhelming of a favorite. So, very good for Scottie Scheffler. Not positive that it is great at this point for golf ratings, because when you come to Sunday and it's kind of a ho-hum Scottie Scheffler win, your viewership isn't up as far as if it was going to be, you know, some drawn-out, hey, are we going to extra holes? What are we doing? But, yeah, I mean, you can't blame Scottie. He's just sitting there playing this game, and he's cruising past everybody.
Yeah, and obviously part of the declining ratings is the split professional golf tours right now. That's hurting everybody. They need to get that fixed, and hopefully they do pretty soon. But it's fun to watch greatness, and right now greatness resides in Scottie Scheffler. So, you know, hey, there's a big event, a new one in our area. That'll become one of my majors. We talk about that a lot, our local golf majors. It's called the Crow Creek. Little Crow, Eagle Creek are combining for a two-day 54-hole event coming up here June 8th and 9th, whereas the two pros are Greg Snow at Eagle Creek. I'm happy to be a member again there this year. And Isaac Nelson up at Little Crow. I guess I've been working on this for quite a while. It looks like a fun event.
It does, and actually, you know what? Yesterday, I pulled out of the Tate Mark, which is a tournament that you've come to with me.
Yep.
One of the biggest pro-ams in the state. I pulled out of that yesterday to play in this tournament.
Great.
You know, 27 holes at Little Crow on Saturday. Then they're going to have a Calcutta, and I think they're going to have 6 flights, and they're going to reflight you depending on how you shoot on Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, for the big one on Sunday. So I go into this thinking, hey, you know what? Excited. You know, want to play well. Want to you know, do as good as you can, get in that top flight and see where it takes you. So exciting, a lot of good golfers. You're bringing the two courses together. I think you're going to have really good participation, and we should have most of the best golfers in the area there. I know there's some, you know, a lot of the Wilmer guys, we go to Sleepy Eye and New Ulm and, you know, Jackpot and some other tournaments, and I know that there's a lot of contingency from those courses that are looking to come up too, so it should be a big field. It should be a lot of fun and a really good test of golf.
Yeah, and I want to say I saw in the flyer that it's a Pro-Am too. Is that correct? I thought I saw pros could play.
Pros, I don't think it's a Pro-Am, but pros can play.
Oh, that's
but
what it
the
is.
Pros have to make the top flight regardless of what they shoot.
Okay. So then they'll limit the number of pros maybe then in the event.
Yeah, I don't know how it'll work. I would assume, like, if a Brady Madsen's back, you know, obviously he loves playing in these. We all love playing with Brady. He's, you know, his golf game's a little different level than ours as he's pursuing a pro career, and there's you and I that are
just try
not pursuing a pro career but right. trying to get our game as good as it can be. So,
yeah that's right.
It'll be really exciting, and it's just a really good test because, you know, all of us that have been involved in athletics through our life, if it's high school, college, what have it be, you have a chance to get butterflies and to just put everything on the line in these tournaments. And so it's fun. This is one of the best competitive things a grown man or woman can do to get the juices flowing again. And so, you know, there's no, hey, my team played good, I didn't play great. I mean, you're out there. What you shoot, it's there. It's for all of us to see. It's for all of us to talk about on the radio show, you know, between you and me and Snow and Ash and whoever, you know, your results are out there. This is how you did. So it is an exciting time.
Yeah, no doubt. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a great event. Can't wait to play it coming up June 8th and 9th. So the Wild season comes to a close tomorrow night. They'll play one last game at home. They've been eliminated mathematically from the playoffs for a couple of weeks, realistically for longer than that. So they're starting to integrate their young guys. They're bringing them up from their AHL affiliates, and I think it's AHL, that's the AAA for hockey, and giving the young guys some run, which they need to, including Wahlstedt. You know, you don't take a goalie on the first round if you don't plan on him being your number one goaltender. at some point in the not-so-distant future, I'm glad to see him getting some play.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, baseball and hockey are similar from a standpoint of when you, unless you're a top one, two, maybe three draft pick, you have a 2 to 3 year road to get to the NHL. So Wallstedt, you know, has been playing, had success with Iowa, came up. We brought him up, kind of threw him into the fire, didn't succeed against Dallas early in the year, gave up, I think, 7 goals, came back. You know, now he's gotten a shutout. He's been playing a lot better. So it's fun to see him and just kind of look at, you know what, going forward, this is probably going to be our guy, and to see him have some success. So it's been fun to see him along with a couple other rookies. And, you know, we have been through, you know, the Johansson probably's not going to be back, hasn't done a whole lot. Goudreau, you look at some of the players that are a little bit older that, you know, we're taking a look and giving these younger guys a crack to see, you know, if they can make it. And if we think going into next year they can be a part of the process going forward.
Yeah, so you hope that they are. What, another year in salary cap difficulties because of the big contracts, you know, with Suter and Parisi that they dumped. But that doesn't mean you can't, you know, contend anyway during that time, but more likely after they're out of that salary cap troubles because of those contracts, then maybe we could really see the Wild put something together.
Yeah, and that's the reason that we like to see get a crack at seeing these guys late in the year. They, you know, competed all year with a pretty grueling AHL schedule. You know, they have, you know, similar number of games, similar number of schedules, but the difference is a lot of times they're bussing it. You know, it's probably a little more grueling to play an 82-game AHL schedule than an NHL schedule because you don't have all the plane rides and the great hotels and such. So, you know, to see them grind down there and then get rewarded to come up and really get a shot with the big team, you know, it's good to see, and it's nice to see some of them have success.
Yeah, no doubt. So on into the postseason they go. So in the draft, I don't know. I don't usually know who they draft because oftentimes they're Eastern European or Western European or Canadians or what have you. If they aren't out of the U.S. college system, I generally don't know who they are. But who do you think they'll look for coming up in the draft?
Well, I don't know. I did just see a deal. If they finish where they finish now, I don't remember if it'd be 13th and the top 12 have a shot at the number one pick, and we're one spot outside of that.
Oh,
which just seems, you know, par for the course
right.
in Minnesota sports recently. But, you know, I think in hockey, since you're not drafting someone and saying, hey, we really need a right wing, they're going to take the best player available.
Yeah.
They've been scouting for a long time, and depending where their pick is, you know, they're going to take I don't see them taking a goalie, but, you know, if there's a defenseman they look at that they love, they'll take him. And if there's a forward, you know, so I don't think it's a situational. Vikings right now are saying, hey, we really want a quarterback. It's not the same in the NHL. They're going to really see somebody that they like and they think they can develop and can be a, you know, a long-term player. So a little bit different in hockey. I don't think they're specifically looking to fill a need, but they're going to find the best player that they like and they're going to go with them.
What do they need then? What do you think? I mean, well, as you just said, they don't draft for need in the NHL, but if they could add something to next season, what do they really need?
Well, I think, you know, I don't think we're going to get somebody that we're going to plop right into the lineup where we're going to pick.
Right.
But, you know, having a big 200-foot dominant center, you know, is always something you can need. We've been talking about that on the free agent market for the last couple of years. When it comes time, are we going to buy or sell and who are we going to trade for? You know, getting a big center to really solidify the lineup would be a really big deal. But you look at some of the you know, the Macklin Celebrini, who should probably go number one out of BU this year. You know, he's a winger, very skilled guy. So you're just looking for, you know, a skilled player that you're going to develop and you see fitting in your lineup in that 2 to 3 year window.
Do guys in sometimes get drafted as a defenseman and become forwards once they get into the minor leagues or vice versa?
No, you're pretty set by the time you get there.
Okay.
You are. You know, your defensemen are defensemen, your forwards are forwards. So, you know, there are cases, especially, you know, even in the, I think it was the national championship game or probably the Frozen Four, now that I think about it, where a team is so ravaged at forward, you can move a defenseman up the forward, but very rarely would you see a forward go to play defense. And, and you really don't see defensemen come up and play forward unless it's a need to, you know, basis, and you really don't see that in the NHL. Once they're there, that's their position, that's what they're playing, and that's what the craft that they've, you know, worked to try to perfect over the past, you know, 10, 12 years. So you don't see much changing in that.
And there's so much nuance to the game that if you're moving around too much, then that wouldn't allow you to kind of have that insight that you need when you're out there. Because just, you know, a split second in the NHL makes all the difference in the world. It's such a fast game.
It is. And that's the difference. You know, you go from, you know, like I thought with Caden at Shattuck, super fast, about as fast of hockey as there is. You know, they won a national championship. You're like, okay, this is great. Well, you go to the USHL, another big jump. You go to Division I hockey, another big jump. You know, AHL, big jump. NHL, the biggest. So,
yep.
I mean, it your time and space gets taken away every level you go up. The game is faster. Guys are, you know, it's not so much anymore in the NHL that it's such a physical league. Some of your lower leagues are actually more physical than the NHL, because when you get to the NHL, if you're going to try to be physical and go blow somebody up or hit somebody and you miss, well, it's going the other way and the speed's there. So, I mean, it's speed and it's skill and it's, you know what, let's get out and go. And so you're right, time and space is key,
yep.
And that shrinks every level of the way.
Yep, it sure does. So we'll see how the Wild come out this offseason in terms of draft and trade. The Twins didn't do anything, really, in free agency in the offseason this year. They added some bullpen relievers, an old bat who is playing kind of some first base in Santana, but they really did not improve their team. They were hoping for improvement from within, which does happen, just not so far this year with the Twins.
Yeah, the only thing that's improved so far this year, I think, is the Pollack group has saved some money because
right.
They did nothing.
That's
you
right.
You know, we got excited last year about a little bit of a playoff run. What did I see yesterday? Paddock went five innings, gave up, you know, 8-9 runs.
Yep.
You know, we lose to a Baltimore team, what, 11-3?
Yep.
You know, Buxton, you know, he got to play the game with that Torrey Hunter-esque catch in center field, and he crashes into the wall, and everybody holds their breath going, okay, is he going to be out 4 weeks, or is he okay? You know, Buxton's hitting barely over 200, what, 208, I think, this morning. You know, yeah, we don't have anything, like, to really say, hey, we really see this turning around and winning the division. We're in a division that's winnable, but we don't have a team right now that's even, you know, making a run to take charge of a it's super early, but take charge of a bad division. So, pitching, you know, you got Lopez up there, which is fun to watch. But you get past that, you got a lot of question marks. And so, at this point, unless something changes, especially with Correa out for a bit, you don't really see the Wild make or the Twins making a big run, because we don't have a lot of, you know, backups to or even starting pitching to get us to where we want to be.
No, that's right, and we've already seen all the injuries that they sustained in the bullpen, a couple to guys that they acquired in the offseason, and that's Di Sclafani, who they acquired to be the fifth starter, blew his arm. He's out for the rest of the season. That forces Louis Varland into the rotation, might be a better reliever. I was hoping he could still prosper as a starter, but he hasn't yet. And then Paddock, you know, he hasn't thrown really a full season of starter innings since 2019. That was his season high in innings at 140. He threw 108 2 years later, but that's it. So for them to ask him to be a starter for the entire season is, you know, not a great plan. You're either going to blow him out or he's just not going to be effective. He hasn't had that number of innings under his belt.
Right. And, I mean, anytime you go five innings, you're giving up eight runs like you did yesterday. You're not, your inning, they're not going to add up very quick because you're not going to be in there very long.
Yeah.
So, it'd be interesting to see if they can turn it around. And you know, they're going to have to score runs to win, because I don't see them winning many 1-0 games unless you have Lopez on the mound.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, Sean, thanks so much. We'll look forward to getting out on the golf course here pretty soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Todd.
Sean Bolson joining us here on the Todd and Friends podcast.
Watch for future episodes of the Todd and Friends podcast at KWLM.com or on the air here at KWLM 1340 AM and 96.3 FM.